Now, Australia's history, it's one punctuated by terrible things happening in beautiful places. A local author's captured the grim reality of what happened when police came to the Kimberley. It started in 1882, and the treatment of the Indigenous people became, in the words of a royal commission, a brutal and outrageous state of affairs. Author Chris Owen is with me this morning to discuss his new book, Every Mother's Son is Guilty. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, Jess. How are you going?
Good. And what was the catalyst for writing this book?
It started off as a master's degree many, many years ago, and I just wanted to do a comprehensive history of the Kimberley because it's often only understood in terms of the West Kimberley, where there's stories of Jandamurra and resistance, and the East Kimberley's really not researched much at all. So I just wanted to do a comprehensive history of the entire Kimberley, and the more research I did, the more this extraordinary story came together about what was going on in the Kimberley. And extensive killing in the 1890s and in the period after that, extensive jailing of Aboriginal people who were caught interfering with the introduced cattle up there. So it's an extraordinarily rich archive in the state records that we've got there. And what I sort of uncovered was this enormous link between those with pastoral interest and the political leaders of the time in Western Australia. So it's quite a detailed and clear narrative story about what's going on up there and how the Aboriginal people were, you know, basically imprisoned and controlled and removed from pastoral stations.
What kind of changes were going on in Western Australia at the time? Like, what was the context of these atrocities happening?
Well, in 1890, WA was granted responsible government, which was self-government, but WA had a very poor reputation for looking after Aboriginal people. There was a notorious case where that Reverend Gribble wrote a book called Dark Deeds in a Sunny Land, which is about the atrocities and how Aboriginal people were basically enslaved in the Gascoyne region. So the British government was very cautious about giving WA responsible government because they thought things that occurred in Queensland, where notorious native police went around killing lots of Aboriginal people, would happen in WA. So they didn't give full control of Aboriginal affairs to the WA government, but rather gave it to a Aboriginal Protection Board that reported to the governor. So this was a hugely controversial in WA. They saw it as a great insult. But as soon as WA got responsible government, they brought in lots of legislation that sought to not protect Aboriginal people, but, you know, imprison them at greater rates. Very punitive legislation, increased jailing for killing cattle that was introduced onto their country. You'd have up to 3 years jail for taking a cattle, and they were often convicted on no evidence at all. So you see all these vested interests influencing the political leaders of the time, and, you know, clear people in the Kimberley would just go and visit John Forrest and Alexander Forrest and say, look, can you do something about these natives playing sad havoc with my cattle? You know, it's as simple as that, and that's when the police went up there. And there were so many Aboriginal people up there, they didn't even realise when they colonised the Kimberley. It was somewhere between 10,000 and 30,000. They only sent a handful of police up. So you ended up having this sort of police cell called Bush Police, who were involved in extensive shooting of Aboriginal people, especially during the 1890s.
So tell us about Dr. Walter Roth's Royal Commission into the Treatment of Aboriginal People. It was a report released in 1905.
Yeah, that was hugely, and again, another hugely controversial thing. There had been calls for a Royal Commission into Aboriginal Affairs in WA for, you know, 20, 25 years, but it had never happened because the fiercely parochial conservative government at the time just kept rejecting it. So after the Labor Party came in the post-Federation period, that was when a Royal Commission was finally called. And Walter Roth was a very smart and well-respected Queensland protector of Aborigines, and he came over here and interviewed 41 odd witnesses, but only for the period 1901 to 1905, and he ignored 1880 to 1890, where all the killing went on. But even so, he looked at the way police arrested people, and that's what he called a brutal and outrageous state of affairs, where they'd arrest up to 33 Aboriginal people at a time. There was no evidence that any of them had actually done anything. They'd be walked sometimes 400 kilometres, neck chained together at 60 centimetres apart, and walked, yeah, for these enormous distances. And then just this sort of farcical judicial system just imprisoned the whole lot at once. women in the family groups walked along as well. They were chained, and they came in not as witnesses for the defence, but for the prosecution of their own family people. So an extraordinary, corrupt sort of system. And Roth, when the Roth report came out, it was serialised all over Australia, and it was reported on in Britain as well. And it led to enormous reforms, but typically in WA they were implemented, like they removed the neck chains, but you know, a year later they were reinstated. So all these reforms, he recommended about 50 different changes to the imprisonment of Aboriginal people, and most of them were simply ignored. And neck chaining, for example, was used until the mid-1950s, which is quite extraordinary, really.
It's unbelievable. It's one thing I was going to talk to you about. So the cover image of Every Mother's Son is Guilty is of almost 100 Aboriginal prisoners chained together at the neck. And you note in your introduction that it's bizarre, in absolute contradiction to all logic. That photo was released in response to the Roth report to show that treatment isn't harsh but orderly and humane.
Oh, yeah. Well, the reports that were coming out of the Kimberley were just absolutely diabolical. I mean, they were chained to the neck, chained to each other, and then chained to the floor in the Wyndham jail, which was a tin shed, basically. And sometimes they were fed on a thing called bubble, which was just flour and water, which, you know, it's just, you know, it's medieval and outrageous. You know, it's just simply not legal. And Roth would ask senior government people, you know, is this legal? Are you allowed to do this? And the police would just go, well, I don't know, I think so. You know, these sort of absolute ignorance of any law regarding imprisoning people. And, you know, most of the people knew that Aboriginal people had no idea why they were being jailed, and they used to mix up the numbers and mix up the names, and people would be jailed for 3 years for someone else's crime. So the picture was published in the Western Mail as an attempt to show that there's some order and system there. But, yeah, so ironically, it's a horrendous picture, isn't it?
It's terrible. You think that was their idea of a good response.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, it's a very harsh frontier, the Kimberley. Very, very brutal times. I tried to calculate how many people were shot, but it's really impossible. So there was just this systematic removal of Aboriginal people off their country in the Kimberley. I mean, you can see the ramifications to this day, this sort of using the criminal justice system for social issues like, you know, cattle killing, and, you know, it's quite outrageous.
So in your book, you write that the absence of certain archival records seems a bit more than random or coincidental. Tell us a bit more about that.
I tried to piece it together, like certain stations, like in Wyndham and Halls Creek and Fletcher Creek, where there were bush camps. And there's a very strange, some of the archives from the most notorious places, especially also Fitzroy Crossing, where a notorious policeman called Richard Pilmer operated, they're just missing from the state archives in whole years. And I found some in the WA Police Department. I went and had a look in their archives. And it's very strange. They knew these records could incriminate them for illegal activity, so they simply removed them from the archive, or they never went to the archive, rather. So, you know, it's a very sensitive time, especially in the period after 1900, after Federation. There's all, like, Kimberley. The Kimberley is the last frontier of Australia, and this sort of frontier killing times are still going on, and it's sort of, you know, it's really... It wasn't to be tolerated anymore. So, and people knew if you wrote this down in a police record or something, you could be charged with murder. So they often made sure that some of these records, particularly also if they mentioned influential pastoralists of the Kimberley, if they had mentioned any of them, and they would sort of, I think, seek to remove the record or never place the record in a proper place.
Have you had any official response from the police or the Indigenous groups up in the Kimberley?
Not yet. I know the people in the Kimberley like it. Pat Dodson did a preface for me, and they're thrilled with it. So a lot of the Kimberley people are thrilled with it. And they gave me, actually, the native title holders in the Kimberley gave me permission to use the front cover because it's quite a sort of damning image, and you have to get permission to use it. So the Aboriginal people in the Kimberley are very, you know, I think thrilled with the book and how it's turned out, but I haven't heard any response from WA police or anything. But having said that, my book's not a police bashing exercise. It's more an examination of the factors that force the police into different roles.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for chatting to us this morning, Chris.
No worries, Jess. Cheers.
That was Chris Owen, the author of Every Mother's Son is Guilty, investigating policing in the Kimberley and treatment of Indigenous people there from the 1880s to the early 1900s.